I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and man, I'm telling you, we got a day for you today. We got a show, kind of going to piggyback off our last conversations, what we were having yesterday, and that's, are we failing our children? Now, I'm telling you, man, that's a heck of a question to be asking someone, don't you think? Are we failing our children? So that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit today, so I hope you're ready for some stimulating and very enlightening conversation. And, of course, I welcome any and everything you may have to add to the topic, plus some. Yeah, plus some, because it's Thursday, man. Y'all got one more work day of the week left, and then you get to chill out for at least a day, 2 days. Just depends on what you're doing. You know, I know some of y'all are going to go out there and get carried away in this Easter thing they got going on. Well, only thing I'm going to say about that is y'all go right ahead and enjoy yourself, okay? Enjoy yourself, because I just refuse to become part of the commercialization of such a day, you know? Since everybody's thinking about Easter basket and Easter eggs and, you know, things of that nature, and none of that really has anything to do with the actual, what the day is really meant to be. But we'll talk about that more tomorrow. Yeah, that's like a Friday type of conversation, you know what I mean? But anyway, so how are y'all doing out there? I said I got refined the design in the house already. Hey, darling, what's going on? How you doing today? Hope you're ready for a great show. You got guest 634 out there in the chat room also. So, hey, we got some things going on, man. So I hope everybody is ready. Let's see, you want to be a part of the show today? That's the easiest thing you can do. One thing I do is just go call in 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate in the show. Like I said, you can send me an email, or you can send me a comment on Facebook, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. And as soon as I receive it, I'll put it on there if that's what you want me to do, or, you know, we'll just have our own little conversation, and, you know, we get little bits and pieces and throw it into the conversation on the air. But other than that, man, that's what we doing today. So divine design in the house. I'm telling you, man, I got some designs in the house, though. I got divine design, I got refine and design. Man, I'm telling you. Those designs are working the thing today. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's what I'm talking about. Guest 684 then joined us in the chat room as well. So You know, everybody's coming in nice and easy. That's good, though. That's really good. You know, this part of the show where I just usually ramble on for a little while, you know, until everybody get in, get settled, you know, get their little cocktails in hand and what have you, before we get into the meat and potatoes part of the show. That's right. You know. Divine is answer. I need cheering up today, Mr. Talk. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, we're going to see if we can't cheer you up a little bit. See, you know, sometimes that's why I say, y'all need to send me some messages, you know, on the Facebook page or, you know, through the email, so I know to have a good song ready for you today to cheer you up a little bit. You know, I don't have any songs lined up for you today. I would sing for you, but some people, you know, have said my singing is not the best in the world. So they really not trying to hear me do too much tuning and singing around, you know, because I would bust out into tune for you. But we're going to see if we can't cheer you up just a little bit, you know. Maybe your partner in crime will show up today. He figured out I'm back on the air, so hopefully he'll show up if he's not working too hard, you know, and you seem to always pep up when he shows up. But anyway. So that's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to see if we can help Divine Design be a little cheery today. You know, I hope y'all having some great weather wherever you are. You know, here it's a little overcast, but, you know, temperature is great. You know, I'm kind of leery whenever it becomes overcast now, you know, and I don't see too much sun because, you know, after the last time it became overcast and the thunderstorms rolled through and destroyed all my equipment. You know, that's not never a good feeling when you see your equipment smoking. You know what I mean? That's never a good thing. And I'm still trying to recover from that. So that's all I have to say about that one. So we're going to see if we can't make some things happen. You know, what we got going on in the news right now. Of course, we still have the ferry over in South Korea. You know, apparently there's been some text messages from some kids, so they're thinking maybe there's some kids, you know, in air pockets somewhere underwater that's still surviving. You know, how long the air bubble is going to last and the air lasts, I don't know. But hopefully, you know, they can find more survivors of that tragedy over there, you know. But, you know, doesn't that make you kind of realize how short life can be, man? I mean, you're on a ferry that you probably have taken tens of thousands of times, and this one time you get on it, man, and it overturns. You know, that just goes to show you how you know, a lot of times you really can't, you really shouldn't take life granted as much many of us do. You know, we take life for granted sometimes. Y'all going to admit, we do. You know, we take for granted we're going to get up in the morning or the next 2 seconds everything will be fine and we're going to be rocking and rolling. You know, but sometimes you have to stop and take inventory. I guess that's, you know, what's going on and where you're headed and where your life is at that time, because you never know. You never know. You know, another example is Malaysian Flight 370. Now, we still don't know where those 320-something people are. You know what I mean? We still don't know. So, once again, it's like, oh, Lord have mercy. Divine Design said, I do not know where I am headed. You know what, Divine Design, sometimes that's not as bad as many people make it seem. Sometimes it's good not to know where you're headed. That means you still have your options open. You understand what I'm saying? You haven't decided that this is the road and that's the only road I'm a follow. You still leave yourself options to take whatever road is best for you. I know some of y'all are like, Mr. Talk, that sounds crazy. But actually, it's not. If you really think about it, it has a lot of validity. It makes a lot of sense. Even if you know where you're going, you should never just get on one road and just stay on that one road, because sometimes there's always a roadblock. You know, you have to go another route to get to where you got to go. But if you just determine to stay on that road, you end up in that one spot, and you spin your wheels, or you just sit there and wait for the construction to end. And while you're sitting there waiting, everybody else on the access road going around you. That's all I'm saying. It's the first time in 10 years I have a drink in my hand. Now, that is bad. Ooh. Well, I don't know if I want to say that is bad, but I don't know. It depends on why you – I guess it depends on 10 years, huh? Now, if you're a recovering, you know, drinkaholic, then, yeah, that may not be a good thing. But if, you know, you decide that's what you want to do, fine. You said have a drink. So that means you can have a Kool-Aid, a cup of Kool-Aid, you know, or some water or some tea. So as far as having a drink in your hand, that may not be as bad as a lot of people may think. No, sometimes you need a little something to get the edges off. Vodka and Coke. Oh, my goodness. No. See, vodka and Coke. That may not be a bad thing either, though. Like I said, you may need to get them edges off a little bit to make you, you know, calm you down and get you to what your process straight, the thought process straight and where you want to go. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know. I don't know. You know, because some days I want to go and buy the whole dang on liquor store. I'm not going to lie. And some days I don't want to be nowhere around it. So I kind of, I feel where you're going with that. I really do. You know, of course, you know, there's some people got papers on me saying I don't need to be doing that. And, you know, because of certain things they have me taking. But, you know, I don't got no problem with no vodka and Coke. I don't. Oh, you know what? I was riding today, and you know, I'm always thinking about the show and you, the listeners. You know, I'm always thinking about y'all, and something crossed my mind, and I think I address this just for those that may have an issue with it. You know, I've been around on this earth for a moment. I have, and yes, you know, sometimes my speech is not the most eloquent. You know, I don't have, you know, that top-tier pronunciation or whatever of some words. I just don't. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't. I talk like me. You know, and I understand some of y'all may have take issue with that, some things I say or how I say them. And I'm okay with that. I really am. You know, I really am. I'm okay with that. And I just thought about that today, and I'm like, well, you know what? You know, it's like this. As long as you understand what I'm saying, it really doesn't matter how I say it, okay? As long as you understand the point that I'm trying to make. Just like sometimes some of y'all say some things, I have no idea what you're talking about. But as you continue to speak and express your thoughts, you know, I become a little bit of acquainted with what you're trying to point, you're trying to make, and I understand what you're saying. You understand what I'm saying? So even though I may not speak so eloquently, you know, as long as you understand my point, that's all that matters. As long as I understand your point, that's all that matters. Now, some of y'all think I'll be picking on you a little bit. Maybe I do. But don't take that in such a bad way. You know, don't take that in a bad way because I'm picking on you and picking at you sometimes. You know, sometimes that makes both of us a better person. You know, I often say those who wear their feelings on their sleeves are often the ones that's doing the most wrong. Y'all figure that saying out, okay? Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all know, I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. You know. So don't take it so personal, okay? Don't say it so personal. Oh, Divine said it. I often say a lot of times for those that wear your feelings on your sleeves about somebody saying something and you get real all upset about it, you know, you real touchy about certain things. Usually you the main one doing something wrong. That's why you all touchy about it. You know, stop wearing your feelings on your sleeve, y'all. It's okay. It's okay. Everybody's going to have their own opinion. Everybody's going to think what they think. And you know, that what makes the world go around. Hopefully somewhere now, though, we can hit, you know, some people say reaching middle ground is not as good as coming over the solution, but sometimes you have to get to the middle ground before you get to the solution. Y'all think about that one, too. I know, man, it's amazing what you do when you're just riding around town and just riding and, you know, thinking and riding. How many of y'all do that, just ride and think? I know some of y'all just drink and think, you know, which is kind of scary, too. But, you know, a lot of sometimes you just get in and just ride, man. And you know, you know, sometimes you just get to ride, and next thing you know, stuff come through you on your brain, and you're just riding. And next thing you know, you've been forgot where you wanted to go because you're just riding and thinking. That's right. Supernatural, they'll say, as they say, what others think of me is none of my business. Oh, I got to give some love on that with Supernatural Radio because that is so true. That is so true, you know. Even though there are some of them that will try and make it your business, you know, but then again, who cares, right? Who cares? Nearly got hit by a car today. Oh, see. Now, just because you're on the bicycle don't mean people going to pay you attention. You have to ride for other people. You know, even look at the drivers. You have to ride your bike for the drivers because they're not paying attention. Anyway. Like I say, I'm just, you know, talking. You know, like we do all before the show, we get into the meeting call. You know, we have a little conversation about this and that and that and this. And, you know, while we're there, everybody get in to what we're going to be talking about today. Let's see, who we got to join us so far? H2O in the house. H2O must be being special, y'all. He came in and didn't say any hello to anybody. He usually wants to mind. What, we got a code of silence today? All right, H2O, get off that horse. Do what you need to do. We got Granny Gunja in the house with that good old reggae music going on. Man, I'm gonna have to get some of that old music from Granny and play it on the show sometime. Cause then we have Supernatural Radio in the house, and I do believe in a supernatural world. I do. So, hey, what's going on? Then we got my number one fan in the house. You sure are crazy. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's guaranteed, y'all. It's guaranteed that whatever I say, you sure are crazy is going to say the opposite. That's the sign that you have a number one fan. And I love them all. I just had to put that out there because, hey, it is what it is, man. But that what makes the world go around, right? Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay. I couldn't resist that, man. I couldn't. You know, it's all good. And it's all good, man. It's all good. You know, I was reading an article the other day. And are you aware that most Americans do not consider the president to be of the black ethnicity? They don't consider him to be black. They don't. Most Americans do not consider President Obama to be black. Well, when did America wake up and realize that he wasn't black, that he was a brown-skinned man? Huh? When didn't they wake up and realize that he is what? A human being. He bleeds red just like the rest of us. Of course, there are some of them out there that say he would be he may be reptilian and a ship shifter and whatever, but he still get cut and bleed red, right? That's what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord have mercy. See, that's what I'm talking about right here. You sure are crazy. See, I haven't said anything about the Koch brothers yet, and they already started already. Don't buy Koch brother industries if you don't like them. It's that simple. You know, if it was easy, crazy, it would be so easy to do this. You know, I mean, that would be so easy. But when you have the second largest privately held company in the United States and your hand is in so much, there's no way you cannot buy whatever they have their hand in. It's just not a realistic type of quote-unquote boycott of their industries. Just not. You know, Hey, they're worth right now $100 billion. $100 billion. Wow. That is a whole lot of money. You know, and it's no secret. Let's be honest with you. It's no secret that they have their hands in politics. You know, they buy politicians. They bought a whole damn city council, school board council in North Carolina at one time. You know what I mean? They hands are so much in the politics and the way America runs, even the universities. So, you know, as far as say, just don't buy. If you don't like them, don't buy them. It's just that simple. Well, you know what? Oh, well, you just can't do it. You can't do it. Georgia buys politicians. Why not bring him up? Well, see, you know what? And you're the one who brought the Koch brothers up. I haven't said anything about anybody yet, you know? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, there's a whole lot of individuals out there buying politics. Depending on what side of the aisle on, you're going to pick one, you're going to pick the other, you know? Hey, who cares? Right? Who cares? We really have no say so in what goes on any damn way. So why even worry about it? You know, you have Koch brothers right there in your topics. You're right, I do. And I mentioned what I was going to mention about them, and that's it. You know, if you ain't that much in love with them, then, hey, you do what you got to do. I'm just bringing up the point, you know, that they're worth $100 billion. No. And from what I can see, they're using it to run, you know, what, they're using it to run the country, they are. You know, right now the biggest thing is campaigning against, you know, Democratic individuals running for Senate that supported the Affordable Care Act. You know, Harry Reid even said, you know, they're trying to buy America. So, I mean, does that really care? I mean, really? Who? What? Why? I tell you what we need to do. And I know I'm going to make some people mad with this. What we need to do, we need to put a contract on all them jokers out there that has money, that decide they want to try and run, you know, buy up everything and keep the poor and poor and get the richer rich, get the rich richer. We need to come up collectively, take up a donation, put it in a fund, and put contracts out on all of them. Now, once we have eliminated all those individuals, you know, after we have gone and eliminated all them individuals, we should have a better world and America, and everybody should be doing fine, right? Heck no, you know that ain't gonna happen because as soon as you get rid of one, there's always another one in line waiting to do the same thing, if not worse. Yeah, kill all those who provide jobs. Ha 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 ha. See? Well, who are they providing jobs for? Because I know there's a whole lot of people running around where I am ain't got no jobs, and we got a military pulse right here. So who are they providing the jobs for? Okay. I guess those that like being on their knees talking to microphones, huh? Oh, did I just say that? Oh, my, let me hit myself in the hand for that one. There's some of y'all will catch that one later. But, Lord have mercy. Man, I'm telling you, that's why I love my number one fan. You sure are crazy. Because like I said, no matter what I say, it's going to be awesome to that, and it's all gravy. It is. Just make you wonder and keep talking and keep the conversation going, right? So, you know what? I'm going to say something else right here, and I'm going to see where to go with that. So, you sure are crazy. I read an article that says women should know their place. And now we know, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that women should be places in the kitchen, they should be barefoot and pregnant, you know, they should be walking behind their man, they should be subservient to what their man tell them? Do you believe that? You sure are crazy. I'm just asking that question. No. Because because I don't see the Culture Brothers, you know, they you never see them supporting any women, do you? You should get a harem, Mr. Talk. You sound studly. Oh, my goodness. I'm not studly, man. I'm 5'2". I'm not really fine. I'm 5'3". I weigh 350 pounds, and I run like a gazelle. I'm a freak of nature. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. Okay, I couldn't resist that one. All right, 111, I saw you had your hand up. You want to put your hand back up again? I'll let you in a minute. Okay, thank you. You know, but, I think that's enough for the pre-show. Because I really want to talk about are we failing our kids, man. Because it kind of piggyback off of what we were talking about yesterday. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, I see 111 has their hand up. So let's go ahead and bring in somebody else. I know y'all probably tired of listening to me ramble on right about now. Antoinette, darling, welcome to the show. And we got enjoying life in the house, and I'm so enjoying life. I am. But anyway, woo! All right, y'all want to be a part of the show, man? 347-838-6622. Join me in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. You send me an email, ericletstalk@gmail.com also, or, you know, send a comment on the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson @facebook.com, and we can rock and roll, okay? All right, so anyway, without further ado, let me bring my my caller in and see where we're going at in the beginning. Oh, man, I love y'all. All right, 111, welcome to the show. What you got for me, and who am I talking to?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Mr. Beasley. How are you today? Man,
I'm all right.
See, you be in 2K in here today, in 2K slipping. Usually in 2K be on top of you. But anyway, what's going on, man?
I'm all right. You know, I was listening to what you're talking about the Koch brothers, and they are dangerous. However, if it's not the Koch brothers, it's going to be somebody else. Or
exactly.
There'll be other groups. Well, because of the Supreme Court's ruling in Citizens United versus Federal Electric Commission 4 years ago, and what the court decided then, and it's really, I don't know how anybody agrees with this, but what they're saying is that money is speech, and that corporations are part of we the people. Corporations are people, and that it's not corruption or it's not bribery. When, of course, we know there's a quid pro quo. You know, people give money with the anticipation of getting either access or having their agenda fulfilled. That's the reason why people give money. Also, I wanted to say that it's not just the Koch brothers, because the Democrats raise as much money or more than the Republicans. So these are big business Democrats. The entire system is
right.
Corrupt, and it's even more. And I think the main person on what's considered the left is George Soros. So you'll hear people on the left complain about the Koch brothers, and I believe they're evil. And then you have the people on the right complaining about George Soros, and if it weren't them, it would be others. They're just probably the figureheads on either side as far as having big money and willing to use their money to get what they want done. But the real problem is how the courts have ruled. And now there was recently a ruling, this McCutcheon versus the Federal Electric Commission, where the court ruled that there's no limits to the contributions to candidates, parties, and political action committees. And I think I said earlier, but I think 96.4% of all elections here in the United States are won by who raises more money. So money is definitely cash definitely rules everything around you.
The what you call it, the super PACs that they have now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You remember those?
Well, yes, but it's bigger than that now with this recent ruling, McCutcheon versus the Federal Election Commission, because there's no contribution mm-hmm. limits for candidates and parties. So right now you have six senatorial elections that are going to take place in November at the end of this year, and those elections alone there's already been more money raised for those six elections to gain control of the Senate than there was in the entire 2012 election campaign. Poor people are going to have it really bad.
Educate us some more. Huh?
Well, I'm just doing a little reading. I just did a little reading
while
you were
talking.
I knew some of it, but the finer strokes I just read, and I'm looking at them as I'm talking.
Outstanding.
That's how you learn stuff. That's how you learn stuff.
That's how you learn stuff, right?
Right. Right. Learning's not a bad thing.
You know, there used to be this commercial used to come on Saturday mornings, Riff. Reading is fundamental.
Man, that's real. Riff is real to this day.
Yeah, that's for real. But it's amazing how you don't hear that anymore, Because really, who really reads if it's not on the internet anymore, right?
Well, there's a lot of information on the internet. I don't read newspapers anymore. I don't read physical paper newspapers anymore. That's
mm-hmm.
a rarity. That's a rarity. But I,
that's
read
a rarity.
Newspapers. Yeah. I mean, newspapers mm-hmm. are free for the most part. At any rate, I just wanted
I'll
to share that. So it's not just
okay.
the Koch brothers.
Well, thank you, Mr. Beasley. Huh?
Uh-huh. It's not just the Koch brothers.
No, of course not. I don't think I was trying to say these guys, that their worth now, net worth is $100 billion, That's the only point I was trying to make. I wasn't, everybody know, for the majority of people know who they are. And like you say, they're not the only ones. They just have the second largest privately held company in the United States.
Do you know what that means?
That means they're making money. That means
they're doing business somewhere. That means that they're really, really rich, and they don't have to answer to any shareholders, okay? Most people
mm-hmm.
in charge of a company, a publicly held company, that means they've sold shares in order to get money to, operate their business. But they have to answer to those shareholders, either by profit, and the shareholders vote and they have a say-so. By having a privately held
mm-hmm.
company, you have to answer to no one.
Mm-hmm.
They have complete control.
Hey, that sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that what Rockefeller had up until they made him break up his stuff back in the 20s?
Well, what he had was a monopoly, where his company's
okay.
privately held. Yeah, but they're on the stock exchange now. I don't know if they were privately held then.
Mm-hmm.
I think he may have been on the exchanges, but what he had was a monopoly. Privately held is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Privately held just means you own all the shares. There's no input, no voting, no board of, if there's a board of directors, I doubt there's even a board of directors. There may be a board of directors, but they don't own any shares. They don't have that much say-so. So they're completely in charge of their companies.
Mm. Okay. That's interesting.
So they're really, really, they're really, really wealthy, and they have autonomy to do what they want.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's always a great thing. Lord have mercy.
Unless you're evil like them.
Is that evil? Is that just being able, is that really being evil, or is that just the advantage of having enough to get taken care of what you want to have taken care of?
Well, the kind of things that they're in favor of is evil to me. It's not about democracy. It's about, you know, continued rule by the super elite and the super, super rich. And they don't seem to have too much of concern for the people in the middle or the people on the bottom. And they seem to be pretty heartless. They seem to be pretty heartless, and that's just not good.
It's not good at all, is it?
No. They say
I agree with you.
A hungry man will let you eat, but a greedy man won't.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Say that one more time, Beasley. Give it to us one more time.
A hungry man will let you eat, but a greedy man won't.
Lord, have mercy. I love that. I love that. Or make it to where you struggle to eat, right? That was
right,
good, though. I like that. That is outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Beasley, you know, since I have you on the line, let's talk about the topic real fast. You know, are we failing our kids? And being that you do not really have any kids.
But I've got kids in my family
You're on the outside. You're on the outside looking in. What do you think? Do you think parents today or civilization today are failing our kids?
Depends on the parent.
Depends on the parents.
I know some kids, and when I say kids, they're in their young 20s now. I know some kids that are achieving, and I know some kids that are complete F ups. And I'm talking about within my family that I've known since their mothers were pregnant for them, and I've watched the whole progression. And I don't have kids, but I've participated in all of their lives as an uncle, as a godfather, as a friend, but as an uncle, as a godfather, someone that they would look up to, someone that's been there for them to give them guidance and give them my opinions. So I've participated, and it's not necessarily apparent, but it's as someone that's older than them, an elder, a loved one, someone that cares about them. I'm part of their lives. It's not apparent. So I've seen kids raise up, and it really depends on their parents. And then I think a lot of it really depends on the child, on the kid. At the end of the day, some of them have taken responsibility for themselves and have achieved without having perfect circumstances. And then I've seen others that have maybe had better circumstances that are completely F-ups with tattoos all over their neck, trying to be a rapper and drinking cough syrup all the time, living some fantasy life.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. So, you know, can it really be said that it's the parents, or is it more an environmental type of situation that has a lot to do with the way the kids are turning out now, or is it a combination of both?
From my experience, I've seen kids, young people, with not the best situation sometimes. I've seen them achieve academically and go far and do things, okay? And I've seen some kids that were only children and coddled and spoiled, and they're complete fuck-ups. There's no real science to it. Are parents failing their children? Maybe so. I mean, we're at the age now that people's parents can be our kids. And some of those parents don't know shit. They're lost. You know? They're lost.
Right.
They're living their life and their ideas through, you know, reality television and manufactured fake hip hop artists. And whatever else pop culture has to provide. I have a niece that doesn't know jack about pop culture. Nothing. Has spent no time watching any of those shows. No, she knows nothing. She's like, I don't know about any of that. And you would think that she would. She hasn't had the time. My goddaughter knows nothing about any of that stuff. They're busy doing what they do. I know more about it than they do. They don't know who NeNe Leakes is. They know very little about Kim Kardashian. They may listen to some music, but they don't know anything about that stuff. And it's not because it's not theirs, because they don't have the interest, because they have goals and things that they're working on.
Okay. So if that's the case, then would you say that's a reflection of their environment, or you know, the nuclear family, or are they in a single parent family and they just have the drive, the internal drive to want to do better than themselves?
I think it's the internal drive. I think their parents probably did the best that they could, and they're just achievers. They just set their mind to something, and they find a way to get it done. They take a can-do attitude. I'm serious, and I've talked to other friends. I have a friend that's my age that I came up with that has six kids. And he has, they have all different personality types. He has a daughter that's graduating from Wake Forest with all A's. She has her choice of going to law school or medical school, so she's not sure what she wants to do. He said, I don't know what I did. Her older brother dyes his hair seafoam green and wants to do videos and wants to be a video director, and he's getting some headway. But here it is, these were the same kids raised in the same household. Not that there's anything wrong to dye his hair green, but I just think that maybe that's who he is, but I just think that the girl that's following through academically has a better chance for a productive and stable life. But he doesn't know, he can't tell the difference. He says it's up to them.
Okay.
That's what he says. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know kids that have had not the best situation. Maybe the father wasn't around. Maybe the mother wasn't that in tune to them. Or something was probably wrong. Or maybe they never really had a lot of money coming up. But the child did well. And you probably also know children who've had both parents and who've had a lot of disposable income. And the kids are lackadaisical and unmotivated.
Right.
So who's to say?
Yeah, you're right. So let me ask you this question, Beasley, and I think this is where everybody kind of differs on. What about spare the rod, spoil the child? Do you believe in that belief or saying, or do you believe you should?
My niece and mother.
I don't want to say corporal punishment, but discipline, spank your children.
Man, kids have to have discipline. They have to have barriers. Kids have to have discipline. Definitely. So they definitely need some discipline. Do they need to be beat to death? Maybe some. I mean, not beat to death. Do some need more than others? Yeah. Kids need discipline. Kids need discipline, and I mean, there's a line between discipline and abuse. Hell, I was abused.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness someone cared enough to stick a foot in my ass.
But now, let's be honest. I'm assuming me and you we're but close to the same.
I'm 51. You're 51.
Age group.
How old are you?
Yeah. This is the same age group. So was it really abuse? I mean, really think about it.
When my stepfather dished it out, sometimes it was abuse.
But did it really hurt you? Did it really hurt you?
Hurt me and put the fear of God in me. He's 85 right now, and I
see.
He's 85 right now, and
different?
I've known I could kick his ass for a good 25 years. And when he speaks, yes, sir. Okay, he's instilled mm-hmm. that in me. Yeah, so.
Right.
Yeah. Would I do anything?
You know,
because
I'm looking at a comment in the chat room said hitting your child is not discipline, it's abuse. You know, and I think that's, in a lot of instances, that's one of the ways where we are actually failing our kids. Because, you know, you raising them to think that, you know, that they just can't be touched. You know, and I think that's one way we really are failing our kids. You know, we let the system decide, you know, how we are so-called discipline our kids. And that is just not the correct way to go about it. Now,
you know what?
Yes, I ain't going to lie. I believe in punishing my kids, yes. I believe in tearing that butt up. I really do. You may say it's abuse, whatever, but I know that there's a difference between the two of them. It is.
Your children and your woman have to have some fear of you. That doesn't mean you have to be a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
But your word has to go, and it has to be heeded too. I have friends.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in my 30s, we go over to my friend's his folks' house to swim, and I'm splashing and making a big huge just carrying on, and his father just looked at me. I was like, oh shit, I better stop. And I'm 30 something years old. He raised three boys. He just gave me a look. He didn't
mm-hmm.
say shit to me. I said, okay, I got to stop. It's time to stop. And I joked about it later. So,
but you got the message, didn't you?
Man, real quick, I got the message. I was like, oh, I better stop.
There you go.
I felt like a kid again. So, I think abuse is having to hit them all the time. I think after a good ass whooping or two, then just the threat of that can make someone act right. Shit, standing in the corner is probably worse than taking a whooping. Standing in the corner with your nose in the corner. Man, that's torture. Most kids cannot take that. They will break down.
You know, I used to think that, but I look at the intelligence of most kids now, and I'm not going to lie. Personally, I say putting a kid in the corner is nothing but giving them more time to think of most stuff they going to do when they come out of that corner. Because now you have their mind just as idle as it want to be because they're standing right there in that corner looking at the wall or whatever, and their mind is just running as far as what can I do when I get out of this corner here. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know,
well,
you go ahead and
handle
it.
I think it depends on the kid.
Done with it. Huh?
I think it depends on the kid. I think it depends on the kid. I had a cousin that would take a whooping in the middle of you, say it doesn't hurt. I'm like, man, will you shut up? You're going to get us killed. That don't hurt. That don't hurt. This is my first cousin. He told my stepfather, you not my father, you can't, and got gaffled up. I was like, I told you, don't fuck with him. That dude is not playing.
Mm.
You not my father, you can't the thing. And next thing you know, he got gaffled up, and he's screaming and hollering for his life. I'm like, I told you so. That's not the dude to do that with. He ain't playing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Learn the hard way if you want to. Learn the hard way. Right.
Mm.
Discipline is good, man. Kids need discipline.
As long as there is a distinction of what is discipline and what is abuse.
Well,
you know, because I think that a lot of times there are some individuals out there, you know, that actually do blur that line a little bit, you know, and, you know, there's also a saying out there that says if you're going to punish your kids, you know, don't do it when you super piss
angry.
Off at them. Yeah. You know? But, you know, I don't know. They say in the chat room, we got Renee Bass. I don't agree, Mr. Talk. I doubt that
is the case with thinking of more to do, that's a true punishment, as so many children rely on computer and TV. Okay, she was talking about when we was talking about putting them in
time. Stand in the corner.
Yeah. I mean, well, in that case, just take their little their stuff away from them then. But see, what people failing to realize, regardless, kids still have the creative side of their mind when they standing there doing nothing. You know, even though they, you know, you took all that other stuff, they standing in this corner and they're idle right now.
Hold on, they're still talking.
Some of the things we think about when we just sitting here doing nothing. You know what I mean? Granny gone to say, Beasley, you was talking about the wife need to be afraid of the husband. She say she would kick your butt. You know, you need to get that right. Basically what she said.
That's not the woman for me. I'm never going to get with nobody that can whoop my ass. No thanks.
Because he said you need a good one.
I'm just speaking from a man's perspective. You don't have to be a tyrant, but you probably have lined up
with getting ready to knock your door down to talking like that, though. But hold on, we got somebody else with their hand up, and let me let them in a minute. Robert, I see you. I'll get you in a minute, Robert, okay? I see Robert has his hand up also. Okay, area code 111, welcome to the show. Who am I talking with and what you got for me?
Maze.
Oh, Lord. Maze, how are you?
I'm just marvelous. Hello, Beasley.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, what are you going to spoil the rod for? I mean, what are you going to spare the rod for? You don't need to spare it. The one that you didn't touch or that got in trouble.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They could whoop you. So you had to show them what ground was what ground and where you're supposed to be, whose house it was and who had you. And leave it at that. What kind did you get, Mr. Salt? The kind of one of them long ones with the long switch? It took a long time, and you get one and you get another one?
I got switch. I got stitching cords. I got whatever you get the hand on at the time.
and they called it a Bruce. And you appreciated it.
Now they call it abuse. Right then it was getting my butt whipped and going to know better not to do it next time.
No, then it was just consequences. My stepfather was so cold, he would sit down and talk to you for a moment. He said, you got anything else to say? You got something to say? You go, I have nothing to say. He's all right. He's all right. We'll go up there and get the belt.
All kids don't have to have it because they know if they see the second one getting it, and they don't do things to have to be disciplined.
Depending on the kid. You got a different personality. My friend with six kids says he deals with six different personalities. You have to deal with them all different.
Yes, they all have different personalities.
And
they all turn out different.
Who wants to? I don't know why anybody wants to go through that.
Once one got it, everybody got it. You know, because there was always something that they did that was done that, you know, the parents so-called let slide. So once it was time for one, it was time for everybody.
It works that way in the military. It works that way in the military, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, okay, let's fix this. You know, mass punishment. You know, you may not be guilty this time, but you did something before that I let go by that, you know, we need to deal with. Yeah.
I think that's a good method. It works in the military, and I think it would work if you had a few kids because the other ones will police the screw up.
That's a good point, Beasley. That's a very good point. Yeah?
But they would call it abuse before he got it compared to what they do now. I mean, he's somebody else out here with an iron and all that ridiculous stuff. That is abuse.
That's abuse. You don't see anybody in the head with an iron. No.
With iron and all of that.
No, that's called knocking some sense into your dumb behind. Yeah. That was just called.
And shoes and.
I got a friend.
That's permanent. Look, that's called permanent. That's called permanent, a permanent mark to help you remember what you did wrong that day and how you got that mark.
Assault with a deadly weapon, they call it, too. I have a friend that has a 15-year-old son, and she calls him all kinds of names, and she goes really hard on him with cursing. To me, that's abuse. And I want to tell her, I said, don't you think you're going to break that boy's spirit? I said, you know, if he ever gets with the woman that's verbally abusive, and if she's, like, got real, real, like, you piece of shit, you this and that and the other, and then if she came back and said, you know, I'm sorry, I'll apologize a little too much, he'd probably say, oh, that's nothing. That don't bother me at all. You ain't got shit on my mother.
Mm-hmm. But, and that's what I'm saying, and then you wonder how when they grow up, they become verbal abusers of their mates and in their relationships because that's all they know. Somebody in the chat room has sent me a thing about, how, kids are growing up and then, you got these young ladies out there. Now, this is a story I was told, y'all, so don't go jumping on me, okay? How young ladies, decide to lie on a young man, basically be about things like abuse or, you done raped her or what have you, and, they go through the rigmarole and it just ruins the kid. Say he's 13, 14 years old. He's been accused of this. He really has done it, but he's been went through the system, and now he's got that so-called stigma upon him. How do we stop that from ruining our kids?
Well, we stop some people from ruining our kids that want to help our kids, but they're ruining the kids that they want to go out and help. I mean, because if you listen to some of the things that they do and say, and want to go out and stop the ones that are doing the same thing they're doing, how could you work with them? You have to know how to deal with them at first to get through the head. If you can't get through the head, then you're just a lost cause trying to deal with them. Sometimes you have to role play with them, act as if you were one of them. And once you get closer to them, then you can have a conversation, and then if they like what they see, they'll stick with it. If they don't, they'll keep on being hard-headed.
Wow.
Because if they took a snapshot at some of us, they'd be like, they trying to tell me something? Listen and look at what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
How should I have to listen to them?
I don't think there's a set answer because the kids, they're different.
Yes.
They're too different. Hopefully you'll have one that'll respond and would get it. It would get it right away, or if that would just listen, that would just do as you say. Now, I wasn't that kid. I tested everything. I had to learn from my own. Now, the value in that as an adult is that I really do know my lessons because I've been burnt because I decided to stick my hand in the fire anyway. Now, there's some things that I listened to and I didn't try, but I tested most of them. Then there's some, I don't know. I don't see why anybody would want to go ahead and have a bunch of kids. That just makes a good grief. That's a lot to deal with.
Well, to some people it is, and some
really?
Is not. And some don't have kids.
And it's a lot
to
deal with. It's a lot of responsibility, and it's a lot of potential pain.
But some people don't have kids, but they love kids.
Well, that's true.
And they help other people take care of their kids. Yeah. My sister-in-law, she don't have kids. She doesn't have kids, but she loves kids.
Wow.
I like
that's
some kids.
And you know what? Some of those people, even though they love kids, they will not make great parents.
That's probably why she didn't want
that kind of way, but it's true. Huh?
That's probably why she didn't want any. But all her nieces and nephews, she spent time, and other kids too.
Parenting isn't an easy thing to do because, it's every day. It's nonstop every day.
Mm-hmm.
And life presents enough challenges besides trying to, I can't see it for me. I'm glad it didn't happen. It's been some close calls, but I'm actually glad that it didn't happen.
But do you hate kids, Beasley, just because you don't have any?
Oh, of course not.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, I don't have the temperament for kids as I've gotten older in my house, in my place. I've had people that I know that bring a little 2 or 3 year old over. I'm like, sit that little MF down and don't let him touch my things and break my stuff. I control him. Why don't you pick him up picking your stuff? Because, it's like, and you try not to say anything, but get the little, you say, buy my little statue. I've had that thing for 20-something years. Why don't you grab that little thing and put him in there and put him on your lap and hold on to him?
You know how you're handling
that? No, I really do feel that way, so I don't really like them in my place, and I don't really actually, I like being alone, so I don't need one asking me a hell of a whole lot of questions,
But what you do when you have one come to visit, they're curious. So you let them touch it and say, I'm going to let you touch it since you want to know what it's about. And my cousin had her granddaughter came to visit. So she was just looking at stuff, and I let her touch. I'm going to let her touch everything that she wants to put her hand on, and I let her touch everything. But she wanted to go back a second time to do it again. I pitched her on the top of the ear. She went and had a seat. Her grandma said, she don't normally do this when she go to people's house. I said, well, we got a secret. As I let her touch everything, but she wouldn't want to, you know, be curious. And when she comes down, she just sit down and or either hug me or whatever, but she don't touch anything.
Well, that's a good girl. What about when them little?
That's because you have let her know what the consequences are of her touching things she ain't had no business touching.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, but
positive and negative reinforcement.
Yes, but some people you're bringing kids to
that
is. They would say it's okay, and no, they don't want the kid touching anything. They say it's okay.
And it is not okay.
No, it's not. I'm going to show it's okay because I'm going to let them touch it. And then after that, that is not okay. But some people are like, no.
All right, y'all. Hold on. Let me bring Robert in. I think I had Robert on hold for a moment. So let me bring him in and see what he has to add to the conversation. All right, Mr. Robert, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm hanging in there. I mean, now check this out.
Oh, well, that's great.
Check this out. I got the gout.
Okay.
I got diabetes, too. I have emphysema. I have the thing for the eyes, the glaucoma. I have loss of sight and loss of hearing. My right knee is bad, and my right arm is very weak. Should I be lying down?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna ask you a question. My son asked me one time when he found out the year I was born in, and his question was, "Are you still living?"
So you asking me how I am?
Yeah. Are you still living? I mean, you got all that stuff. I just want to know, are you still living? Good Lord.
Hey, I've been working like that the last 5 years, man. But
well, you know, I think maybe you need to go in and grab hold of some kids so they can breathe a little life into you then.
Or maybe he needs to start reading.
So, Robert, what you?
He read me to take
care of
him.
So, Robert, what do you think? What do you think about kids? You know, sparing the rod, spoiling the child. Do you believe in that, or do you believe in punishment?
Well, right now in this time and age, I would give everyone as much love as you can. This is no time for discipline except for self-discipline.
Wait a minute, Robert. Let me ask this question. When you say love, what do you mean by love? You know, because
love
can be determined in a whole different realm when we're talking discipline. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what kind of love are you actually speaking of?
Yeah, the self-discipline kind. I mean, you know, if you're young, you know you don't mess with young girl. You wait till you get older. Then you ask for her hand. You take her out for a couple of years, 3 years, before you decide to settle down and then beat each other up in 2 years and then it's over. It ain't worth it. There isn't time for that now. We have a short period of time left. Go around and help people if you have nothing to do. You know, if you lie, stop lying. If you cheat, stop cheating. If you're stealing, stop stealing. You know what I'm trying to say. I mean, treat everybody with respect. Time is very short now. And if you're in Los Angeles, get the hell out of there.
Why? The
okay, wait a minute, Robert. Hold on.
The weather's great. This is Robert Moore's, my home.
I understand what you're saying, but Robert, we're, huh?
No, go ahead. Let him talk.
Okay. Well, no, because
the weather's great. Los Angeles is
what does that have to do with disciplining a child?
Nothing.
Because you better get them on out of there or hell is going to break loose. Soon.
No. Are you
get
looking
them out
in
of
that,
L.A. If you down
are,
in
you looking, are you looking in that crystal ball again?
Oh, I'm looking hard. This is the second time I heard the same message in 2 months. Get the hell out of L.A. and out of Mexico City.
For what?
If you're on Montserrat or you're over near Vesuvius in Italy, get out of there.
Because he knows what's going to happen.
Time is short.
Yeah,
starts
my grandma, just like I said, my grandma used to tell me
96.
That. She lived to be 96. And
the end
time
is coming
short.
All the time.
I don't know what it means.
That's the latest message. The message is shape up or ship out. If you don't have 51% of light in you, you're a goner. 6.5 billion people are leaving Earth. Only 500 billion will be left on Earth. Which
okay,
way
but
do you
Robert,
want to go?
But Robert, I understand that, but how many of them are disciplining their children?
Anybody not disciplining their child will probably on the dark side. You're gone. You're out of here. Creator
what?
Is not messing around this time, folks. The if you ever heard of the Luciferian experiment and the Michael experiment, well, guess what? They're over with. Creator cut them short. There's no more experiments going on. It's time to clean up.
What was the experiment? What was the experiment?
Trying to get people to become one with God quicker.
Oh.
And
okay,
so
let me ask you this question.
Wait
a minute. Hold on, Marva, because you're trying to take us into outer space, and I'm trying to stay here right now. Okay?
And the one that thinks that we're God is not.
Wait a minute, Maze. And what I want to know is your theories on discipline and children. You know, I understand about, you know, the time is short and all that other stuff. And a lot of kids feel that once they done something, daddy on his way home, that time is short from that behind whipping he about to get. But, you know, how do you really feel about, you know, disciplining a child? Do you believe in corporal punishment? Or do you believe that timeout and denial of certain things is the proper way to go?
Start loving them. Don't be knocked down. Don't give them any joints. Don't give them any alcohol. Start treating them like a son or a daughter should be treated. Don't use the rod unless you want the rod used on you. Be smart. Be wise.
Okay, so basically, you believe in the theory of sparing the rod.
If the rod already been used on you,
spare the rod.
What do you do?
Yeah, the days are over for the rod. There ain't time to use the rod. It's mental exercise now. You have got to get you and your loved ones on the side of the light, not on the darkness side.
Uh-huh.
There isn't time.
Okay.
Time is running
all right.
400 years.
Well, we're going to let you stay on that side of the light for a moment because we're going to keep going. I love Robert, but sometimes Robert he be floating sometimes, man. You know, but okay, so Robert say you need to spoil the child, okay. Okay, you need to spoil, you need to spare the rod, spoil the child, and just use mental discipline.
That's why
what
when
is
you
mental
go
discipline?
Out. And you,
that's a good that's question. What the hell is mental discipline?
It's what people use on.
What is that?
It's what people use on those little bad white kids that know how to act out when you go out in the world, and you see them screaming and hollering and crying and cursing their parents.
Mm.
That's what mental discipline will do.
Oh, that's what that would do. Because
well,
I remember when I used to go in the store, and you know, I used to get the speech the whole time, even before I left the house. If you embarrass me, I will embarrass you. Right then, you know, you remember that speech right there? Do not touch anything. Do not ask for anything. And that is it. You know? I'm just saying.
No, I got a similar type of thing. I got a similar type of. No, a similar type of. Well, you after a while, you just know how to act. No, I think it was here. You could either come in here with me, but you know, I don't want any problems. I'm not buying you anything, or you could sit here in the car. So what do you want to do? You didn't want to sit in that damn car. So you're like, I'll come and I just won't ask for anything. Or make a fuss.
Brought that up. Remember the time when a child would sit in the car and nobody would say anything and you survived the whole time sitting in the car? What happened to that? You know, wow.
Can't do that no more.
Has children become just that soft?
Man.
I guess that's the word I'm looking for. Are children soft today?
Because they're dying from sitting in the car with the windows rolled up.
Right. People still kids. I don't know. I guess they stole them before, but it seems like they steal them a whole lot more now.
Really?
Yeah, no more sitting in the car.
Well, Mr. Talk, I used to drill people out when my kids, if they were doing something, and I was like, okay, do everything you want to. I don't care. Just go in and they would stop and just stop in the mix and sit down. And they were like, you tell them to do what they want to. They're not doing it.
That's because you had the Jedi mind trick on them. You outthought them. You're smarter than them, and you knew how to play the games. And you knew how to play the mind games on them. So that's smart, and that's what you do because you can do kids like that. I have another friend who had a 5-year-old son, and I would talk to shit. He's driving me crazy. He's driving me crazy. He's doing this and he's doing that. I said, you play these men effortlessly, and you can't psych out a 5-year-old. You can't run no game on him.
Amazing, isn't it?
There have been little kids, and I've done it to some adults on these radio shows, but there have been little kids that just don't stop talking, and they're saying all kind of little smart things. And I got a method for that. And you say, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I control you, and I can make you do anything I want you to do without even touch you. They go, no, you can't. I said, well, yes, I can. I'm going to go ahead and make you talk right now. Now, go ahead and say something. Say something. They will close their mouth and won't say nothing. I bet I can make you talk. Now, go ahead and talk right now. Say something. They will sit there and close their mouth tighter and point at their mouth like, look, I ain't saying nothing. You can't make me talk. So, I mean, if you can't outsmart a kid, if you can't psych out a kid or outsmart a kid, then, you know, something's wrong with you. Then you got to resort to other things. So the belt should be one of the last resorts.
Yes.
You think so?
Well, the threat of the belt should always be there in case it goes too far.
Mm-hmm.
But who wants to go through all that all the time? I mean, you should be able to run little mind games and tricks on them. You should be able to if you're a thinking person.
But now we sit back and laugh at it, how I did it. I mean, it was funny. I mean, with all of my nieces and nephews, I can do them the same way, and I'm in a different state. All I got to do is call.
You have to think about it now. You know, everybody thinks about the bell as the last resort. You know.
Kids
are all about boundaries, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They're all
right.
about boundaries, and they're all about testing you. So you can say no, no, no for so long, and I see what you're saying now that I'm talking, you know, but eventually they're going to be like, shoot, I'm going to do it anyway. They're going to tell me not to do it. The point to where, I'm still saying if I hit you with that strap the first time, I ain't got to worry about you thinking about it no more because you already know what the consequences are.
Like that asshole.
But when you're doing it, Mr. Talk, you got to remember you were young once, and they're doing the same thing that you did. And if you see it in
that's why I'm tearing that ass up now. So
you did the last thing
do the same thing that I did later.
Yes, but a lot of things things we did to get in trouble for, we didn't think it was right, but we knew we did something wrong.
Well, it got to the point when I was a kid and got a little older, we didn't really necessarily get in trouble for the little things that we did. The problem became us lying about it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That became the bigger problem. you know?
Yeah.
So I was about 13 or 14 years old when I just learned to take responsibility for the things that I did. If I broke a table or said something, say, well, I don't know how it happened. I don't know. I don't know. They're like, well, the table just broke itself. So you're going to tell me you haven't been out here all day long and the table just broke itself. I don't know.
That is so true. That is so true, man. You know.
So once I learned to say, oh, I was standing on the table and it broke down. He said, well, go get a goddamn hammer and nails and fix it. I said, wow, that was easy. Tell the truth.
That was easy, huh?
Tell the truth, fix the problem, everything's cool.
Mm.
Whoa.
Mm.
I wish I'd have figured this one out about five or six and about 40 whoopings ago.
If it was just that easy, Beasley, it was just that easy. Oh, they got something else with their hand up, so let me bring them in and see what they have to add to the conversation. All right, 111, welcome to the show. What you got on your mind, and who am I talking to?
Hey, Mr. Talk, how you doing? I've been listening to you guys for about
I know this was
six.
You, Michael. I know this is a topic you cannot stay away from. Now, gonna tell us how you think that we should not, punish our child, and that you know it's abuse, and we shouldn't be teaching our children to be hitting on each other. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead and say what you're gonna say, Michael. My bad. Go ahead.
I am so glad I was not in the ranks with you in the Army. My goodness. Boy,
yeah, I'm glad you weren't too, Michael, because you wouldn't have lasted long.
At the motor pool, I can see it every day. How everyone's doing. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, first of all, you know, some of us adults, you know, some adults act like children. Some adults need their ass beat. But when he was talking about mental discipline, you know, Mr. Talk, we can have mental discipline and, you know, take things when you mean what you say. You know, if you're not going to do this, you're not going to get this. And just mean what you say. That can be a type of mental discipline. You know, chastising, one thing, it has to be a balance. Me personally, you should nip things in the bud. And as they get older, it shouldn't be that. There should be more direction, more mental discipline than the physical discipline. But having said that, chastising your child has never guaranteed anybody any success. It doesn't guarantee that, you know, you grow up and you won't lie to your girlfriend, you won't be responsible, you won't go to jail. It just doesn't guarantee anything. You just have to balance it. And sometimes people think it's going to guarantee. I know a lot of people that got their ass whipped when they was little. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they grow up and do, you know, mistakes and things that happen. So it's not a guarantee for anything. And a lot of people need to, you know, have that balance and, you know, and just know what you're doing when you're doing it. That's all I got to say, Mr. Talk.
You know what, Mike? You know what? And you said that so eloquently. You didn't get passionate, and you actually made some sense there, Michael, to a certain extent. But I had already said you was gonna say that. But you know what, Mike? You're right, though.
I didn't want to be nasty like I was yesterday. I didn't want to be nasty like I was yesterday. So I just tried to, you know.
Well, thank you. I don't see how you could have gotten nasty with this one, Michael. But okay, I'm glad you weren't. You know, I appreciate that. I really do. You know, but Mikey, you're right, though. You do have to be cautious in how you handle it. But in some instances, though, I do believe that, because I tell my child now, he's 11 years old, and I tell him now, when he decides that his nuts are bigger than the head on the top of his body, I'm going to bust him dead in his chest to bring him back down to reality. I told him that's not a warning. That's just a promise. It's going to happen. And I do believe you have to, especially with young men, you have to let them know, you know, there is a consequence for them getting out of hand. And if not, he will grow up testing you, you know. And some of them going to test you because that's just the young lion testing the old lion. You know, he got to test his boundaries. You know, and you have to be ready to handle it like two men. And there comes a time, we done left the children now. We into the teenagers now. Because there comes a time when that teenage boy, I'm going to talk about the boys now, that teenage boy is going to try you. He's going to try you.
Well, it's in his DNA.
And you're going to have to shut him down. Now, you can sit there. Now, listen, though. You can sit there and try and mentally tell him, well, no, you can't do this, But I guarantee you, when you take them five fingers and ball them up into that knuckle and you put it there in the square of his chest and you make him understand that, no, it ain't happening like that, you get your message across, and I guarantee he'll be all right for the rest of his life. I'm telling you.
Right,
I'm
every family
crazy,
goes.
But I'm just telling you.
Well,
that's how it's gonna work.
Right, this is family. I mean,
there's
right,
many times in the motor pool. There's many times in the motor pool that I had to have wall to wall counseling with soldiers. Hey, my NCOs used to have wall to wall counseling with me. It worked just fine. See what I'm saying?
Oh my! I told you. I was glad.
But for real though, I do believe there's a point where you know you just cannot spoil the rod. I don't care what you say. You can't spare the rod. You can't. That's the way I believe.
Well, put it like, having two boys myself in teenage stage, I'll put it like this, Mr. Tucker. I understand you. When you have two boys, you try to kill two birds with one stone. When they get up in age of that nature and you have to, they step up and they got their chest out, yes, you have to be stern with them and let them know, check it out. But, you know, put it like this, I killed two birds with one stone and didn't have any more problems. This was like 2 years ago. No more problems whatsoever.
Now, how did you do? Okay. Because if you don't mind, you explain, you tell us how you did
I'm
that.
I'm not going to go into that. The only thing I'm going
to
say is
what
you
had to do.
You put one of them in the headlock.
The other
sibling knew not to go further. So the other sibling already knew.
But see, that's
so what I'm
Michael,
what I'm saying.
Michael,
what I'm
I understand
saying,
what
having
you're saying.
Said that, having said that, uh-huh. having no more problems, no more problems whatsoever, because you nip things in the bud. And guess once that happened, guess what? Hold on. Once that happened, you don't bring it up no more, and you move on. Bottom
Michael,
line,
that is my point.
That is what you do.
That is my
you
point.
You move on.
I'm just curious. How did you nip that in the bud?
That's none of your business.
Put him in a submission hold and made him beg for his life. He did what he had to do.
You can imagine anything you want. That's
right.
You
put him in a submission hold.
Daddy, help! You're gonna kill me.
He's all you stereo all you want. I just put it to you like
cool.
that.
You did what you had to do.
In all houses.
Okay, Mike, I'm gonna ask you this way, Michael, and I'm just gonna ask it simple. Okay, did you spare the rod when you did
it? Hell. Mr. Talk.
Okay,
what
thank
I said
you. That's
is
all
what
I had
I
to
said.
Say.
It's moving.
No. Okay,
what
I'm not saying anything else. Okay. 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 All right. So in that sense, we're on the same sheet of music, then, Mike. I understand
that. Right.
This is real talk. Did you have to do the older one or the younger one? It was the older one, right? Mike.
Probably was the old one because he said sibling. So, yeah, if you get the older one, the younger ones understand from now on out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they laugh at him and leave.
That's something they'll laugh about until, everybody's gone. You know, remember that day Dad caught you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. But that's my point, Michael. Thank you for the story, though, but that's my point. Now, as far as girls, I don't know. I saw my mom, maybe she rest in peace. You know, she handled my sister one night, and I guarantee my sister learned never did anything crazy again. and my mom was like 5'2", 102 pounds. And, I mean, when I say this woman handled a 150-pound teenager, she handled her. You hear me? So, I don't know. But, Maze, you got any daughters, Maze? How would you go about that with a female, a teenage girl?
Well, if you start them when they're little, you don't have to worry about it when they get older. The respect, if you bring the respect, man, it's going to be there.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So we don't have, you don't have the
it's the same if you don't,
young female line that's trying to take the older female line in the spot.
They have that if they don't know who's the lion. But if they already know,
mm-hmm.
You want to know how the women deal with people like that? You know, you have, well, since I have nieces and stuff. Oh, yeah, they woke up at you, too. And you have to put them in the place.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And then it's over,
okay.
And they love
what you
to death.
What do you
that.
Mean by when you say put them in their place?
To put them in the place.
So you are we speaking of wall-to-wall counseling also?
Sometimes it comes to that, to some people.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you sit down and have a talk.
Mm. Sometimes
you
sit down and
have
a talk
with them. And when you, yes, sometimes you can sit down and have a talk. And it'll put them in their place, too. And you'll have no more problems.
Hmm. Okay. You know, okay, I understand. Hey, chat room, y'all got kind of quiet. You know, what's going on? What y'all think about that?
Huh? They're having flashbacks.
Oh, they're having flashbacks. That's what's going
on.
They say y'all having flashbacks in the chat room. What's going on, y'all? What y'all think about what we talked about, huh?
Before the streetlight came on, it was before the streetlight came on, you better be in the house. If you wasn't, everybody coming to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my brother, we said, like, we laughed.
They coming to find
it's
you.
So funny.
Ain't nobody calling to come to find you.
You didn't have to help find you, no. If you was in with the streetlights came on, you knew what was coming when you came through the front door.
That's right. That's right. You know.
But I mean, where we live, and my grandmother, she was everybody. I mean, she didn't spare the rod to nobody. Everybody knew her.
But see, and maybe that's what it is also. You know, back then, you know, the neighborhood, everybody knew each other, child in the neighborhood. And, you know, there wasn't too much you was going to get away with compared to now and how, you know, first thing some of these young mothers say is, don't say nothing to my child. Don't touch my child. You know what I mean? And that gives the child the perception that they're untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Until something happens, and then first thing is said, then, well, why didn't anybody say anything? Why didn't anybody help? Because you have already, most of them have already set the tone that you don't want nobody saying nothing to your child, and your child is not listening anyway.
But what's funny,
am I off base with that a little bit, or does that make a little bit of sense?
But what was funny,
you're not gonna have nobody beat the children though.
But Mr. Todd, what was funny?
Huh?
Right. What was funny?
You gonna have people chastise the children for you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michael.
Mike, if the neighborhoods, listen to what I'm saying. Yeah. If the neighborhoods were as close and family oriented as they were back then. Heck yeah, I'll let my neighbor tell my
it
child ass up. Because I know they're
not
trying to
not
hurt them. They are still
Listen, it's not happening, me personally, because I know adults play favorites. I was a kid once, too, right? And when you have children playing in the neighborhood and you got parents beating and kids hitting each other and all, and you got other parents hitting on kids, bro, I'm letting you know, when I will never let nobody, if I have another child, let someone hit my child, because I know I have to watch how I chastise my child or how hard I hit. I'm not going to put that in another adult's hands. Not me personally.
Okay, let me.
No.
Okay, let me ask this question.
No, bro.
Let me put this question out there. Let me put this question out there since we went to this dynamic a little bit. All right. Let's go to the blended family where you have one biological parent and one step parent. All right, I mean, let's get some juice into this thing now. So, and you, the biological parent, are you gonna tell that other, or are you gonna tell that other parent that they cannot discipline that child, they cannot put their hands on that child?
Okay, now I'm going to talk. You switching
the
scenario.
You're a biological parent now.
I'm letting you know now. If my children was younger, I'm giving you an example. If my children were younger and they would still be getting chastised, and my ex was married to a husband, and I'm in my kid's life like I am now, what the hell another man would put his hands on my child? Why? For what? I'm in a kid's life. Come on, Mr. Talk.
Okay,
but they're living in that man's house, though.
No.
Thank you.
And the mother lives there, too. And the mother's in there, too. The mother can discipline, too. What now? He has a father. What are you talking about? There's a difference there. I'm not in the father's life. I have joint custody, legal, joint physical and legal custody of my children.
So,
For example. We stay in the same town. Why is he beating my child? Come on, Mr. McClellan.
Let me give you a quick example. Okay. The situation, just like you said it was, and the stepfather tells him, "Hey, listen, don't go in this area. Don't go in this closet because I'm working on something." The kids go in that closet anyway, and something drops and messes up, and it messes up something more. He's like, "What did I tell you not to do? Is he supposed to stop?" Go get his woman and then have them call you for to discipline him about that? Or does he take it into his own hands? The real world
First of all, when he does that, first of all, I already know he's mad, right? For first of all, he needs to go in talking with the wife, discipline him another way, let her chastise him, okay? I'm saving his ass, because if he goes overboard and my child has a mark on him, or if she comes and tells me why her husband beat my child and I don't think it's for a good reason and stuff like that, boy, you opening up a whole lot of can of worms. I'm letting
Mike.
You know. Don't go there. I'm letting you know that there's a difference between the father and the life.
Mike.
I am in my kid's life, though. There's a difference.
Mike.
I'm putting that verb on.
If it was a good reason, you wouldn't mind.
No, I don't care what reason. I'm just giving an example.
If it was a good reason, I thought you said good reason.
Well, right. Regardless.
I don't know.
I was discussing, Mike, how we grew up in the neighborhood. The neighborhood was family from the circle. If your grandmother lived next door, she was family, and everybody that lived next door to her and all in that circle, any kid that did anything wrong, she would tap them. And when I would go home to visit and I would leave my kids with her, I told her to do them just like she did me. She had to give them time, but I didn't know it until they were grown, and they were sitting back laughing at how she rolled those three switches together and ate their legs up because something them and their cousin had did together. But they said they didn't know who did it, and she got all of them for it.
Well, I know that, but
and
they
still remember
it
to this day.
But if the parent is stern and you tell mom, I'm going to let your mother know and you're going to get in trouble, that is different. I'm just saying, when you let another, I'm just saying, because, listen, I might be playing with my neighbor's child and we get into it and then she beat me and don't beat her child. See, stuff like that go crazy. I'm saying you open up a lot of cans of worms when you do that. Don't touch my child.
Michael,
let me go.
You know what, though? Michael, here's the thing about that. You know, number one, you're doing things when you do that. Number one, you're telling your ex-spouse that you really don't trust their judgment of who they chose to marry and who to have around
That's
your children.
A lie.
Number two, you
That's
cutting.
A lie.
Number two, yes, it is. Number two, you cutting that other spouse off at the knees, because what you're saying is my child can live in your house, but you better not touch him. In other words, my child can do whatever the hell
way.
He want to do, and you
No. Listen. Hold up. First of all.
This is how I run. Hold on.
And if I ever get married and have a kid again, this is how I'm running. If the mother's home and I'm working and the child do home, don't wait for the father to discipline. You do you. Don't come and let me sick me on my kids, because you're the provider. You're disciplined to a woman. I'm just not going to come home and I'm just going to be the father, just beat the kid. That's crazy as shit. And I'm letting you know the mother is there, and I'm letting you know I'm right across town. This man did not go in and do nothing like that, because me and the mother is still communicating. She's running rules. She should be just scared enough or ass whipping from my mother than her stepfather. I mean, or their stepfather. Come on, bro. There's a little bit different story here. And I'm just letting you know that's how I'm not going to run it. Now, put it like this. What if he scarred my child and put a scar on my child? then what? See, you're not talking about that. What if he tells you your child looked at him wrong and he just beat you? Anything.
But, and Michael, what you're doing is now taking it to the extreme. We're talking about basic discipline in your child. You're taking it to the extreme. Another man putting his hands and frustration out on my child.
No, I'm not. I'm letting you listen. I'm letting you know to avoid it. See, this is why people get in trouble. To avoid the conflict, I'm saying the father, I'm right across town. I'm in my kid's life, and I'm letting you know to avoid World War III. Go ahead and let the mother go ahead and have less discipline. He can discipline in other ways. But when it comes to the hitting and physical, come on, bro. Everything is situational. Come on. My kids are not attacking him. You said my kids knocked something over. And then
how do you know that? How do you know that?
That's the situation you gave me. You saying that
if he comes
and says one of my child tried to stab him and kill him, that's something different. But you said the man got mad because my child did not do exactly what
he did.
Come on, bro. You're not gonna hit no.
But you know what? Most parents don't think like you, Mike. And you know what you're doing?
Well, it's not.
You're essentially making this man
older. I'm glad I don't have to go through it.
Right,
I'm
but
just
you're essentially
you know. Yes,
you're essentially making that man have no authority in his house over these children,
right.
Over these kids. And if these kids know, okay, you ain't gonna do shit. They probably tell him, you can't go do nothing to me anyway. My daddy said he whoop your ass. You touch me, I call my daddy on you.
And that's exactly what's gonna happen.
You've got what you have there is chaos, and you've got the inmates running the asylum. That empowers the kids. I think what might be better in a situation like that is to try to work out an understanding with the dude, you know? And you can explain to him what you want. You know, you can explain to him what you want, but you can't – it's not going to do the kids any good if you take this man's authority away in his house. Other than that, you're right. It's a slippery slope in a messy situation. Another reason not to have kids.
You know, in the chat room, we got open mic says, if a child feels comfortable enough to call someone mom or dad that is not their biological parent, then they will be treated as such with all rights and spankings included. And I said the
situation was I was in my child's life. They're calling me dad. Hold up, bro. Listen to me. You gave me two situations. Now listen.
But, Mike, hold on, before you get started. Before you get started again, Michael. You know, I don't have to overtalk you. All right, I don't have to overtalk you, and I'm not doing that, okay? Now, here's the question. Even if you are in your child's life, Michael, what has that got to do with this child living in somebody else's house, being a roof being provided, being fed, being clothed, in somebody else's house now, but yet you telling that individual that they cannot discipline this child? That is just not realistic.
First of all, we're saying there are many ways of discipline, and then why are you saying his house? They're married is hypothetically speaking, the ex, when she's married, it's their house, not his house. And I'm in my child's life, though. I'm just saying, God could believe me, if I had a daughter, I'm hypothetically speaking, me a man, if I had me a daughter and another man took her.
Go ahead, Michael.
If I had a daughter and another man pulled my daughter's pants down and beat my daughter and put marks on my daughter, I would go fucking nuts, bro. What the hell?
Michael, you're taking it to the extreme.
If another woman is beating, no, listen to me. No, see, I'm letting you know I'm avoiding it. I'm avoiding it. He don't want to go to fucking jail, and I'm letting you know a lot of people say, hold up, everything is very, very situational. We're talking about someone's doing it and getting mad and disciplining when the mother and his father are in the child's life, but they're just not together. And I'm saying everything is situation. Like, I wouldn't let a teacher beat my child. That's like letting a teacher beat my child. Listen, a lot of mothers would not let another woman beat her daughter or beat her thing. I'm telling you, you're going to cause World War III. You saying
hey, Mr. Urban, how are you?
I ain't leaving it, bro.
Good.
Not when somebody ain't responding. That's all I got to say.
Well, you know what, Michael, and I'm glad you brought it up because I do believe, I really do believe that, that teachers should be able to, the schools should be able to minister discipline to some of the kids. And I guarantee you, you wouldn't have so much trouble that you have in schools now if they went back to letting the schools do corporal punishment or something bad behind kids because of people like you that tell them growing up that nobody can touch them, so they get in high school thinking the same thing.
No.
That's one reason why I think
people
become
like
a teacher, because you know why? No. I'm talking now. That's right, I'm talking now. Because I'm going to tell you, you know what, I'm going to sit here and listen to you, and you know what, screw that. Okay, now, here it is. You know, and now that I'm thinking about it, that is why we have kids now in high school running around here doing what they're doing, because parents done told them from the age of 2 that nobody else can touch them. That's one reason why I would not become a teacher, because I would be in trouble, because, yes, I would take and bust a child in their chest the day he stood up against me if he 18 and he think he that bad. You know, and that's the problem. You know, parents have just become too freaking soft. And, yes, I'm asking the wrong question. Yes, some of us are failing our kids. Just because we think that everybody's going to abuse our child, everybody's going to do wrong by our child. But, yeah, your child out there disrespecting everybody from the ruler to the tutor. But nobody want to say anything about that, right? Right. That's what I got to say about it. That's right. Y'all lucky my mic won't stay in one spot. I must have got hot all of a sudden. But you know what? I'm not rethinking anything, H2O. That's right. Kids go to guns today, Mr. Talk. That's right. And you know what? If some of them teachers brought their guns to school, that would stop all that bull crap right there, too. See, and that's the problem. You know, the system out there say, well, you can't do this to a kid, but ain't nobody stopping the kids, are they? Until, of course, some kid goes and stabs up a whole bunch of other kids, or some kids go up there and shoot up a whole school, then all of a sudden there's a problem, right? Right. But I guarantee, God dang on to you, if one of them teachers put a round in one of them damn kids that want to be Billy Badass, that will stop all that. Because the president has been said, you want to be living in the Wild West, we can do that. That's right. You know, parents have just become pussified. I'm going to say it. Just like America, pussified. You know, the kids running all over. Kids do what the hell they want to. Parents, come on, that's right. Don't let my kid do it to my kid. But yet, when your kid out there killing somebody else's child, then you were, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't see that coming. I don't know why you didn't see it coming. Hell, it's been that way the whole damn life, because you don't want to discipline your damn child. That's what I'm saying. Now, y'all ain't got to like what Mr. Talk said. I don't care. I'm just telling you. No, I'm just telling you like it is. Just done pussified everything. Now, I'm good now. That was just that little spark that set it off right there. You know what I mean? That was just that little spark. You know, and it's just crazy. You know, you have to say it. You know, if you take the bully out, everybody else will fall in line. Because we have multiple bullies because the system and them other folk running around here saying, well, just let them be bullied as long as they don't bully my child. Let's stop all the bullying, but the system is promoting bullying. But we got all these great campaigns here. Actors, don't be a bully. Don't do this. Hell, the system is a damn bully. You can't let the system tell you can't discipline your child. That's bull crap down in my house. I am the bully. If that's what you want to call me, then fine. I am the bully because I'm going to tell my child's ass up. Just that simple. And if your child come over my house and they act like crazy, like they ain't got no sense, I'm tearing their ass up too. And if you don't like it, come on, I can get your ass too. That's right, I'm cussing today. I'm just putting it out there because that's what it's got to be like. And until we get there, we're never going to be able to have any peace and it's something so crazy that's going on in our schools and in our communities. True. Ebony, I see you out there. All right, I'm going to open their lines back up. I'm through now, man. You know what? I think I need me a good drink right about now.
Okay, good, okay. Mr. Chuck.
Right,
I'm glad.
Y'all,
now, hold on.
Go ahead.
He was speaking in a lot of second person, saying you, your children, but hold up. It sounds like, I mean, you were showing everybody how you sound when you probably chastise, you get real mad. But I'm from the gut, I'm from the ghetto, and I'm letting you know, if the ass whoopings were the miracle to keep people out of jail using drugs, our community would look so different, because I'm letting you know there's a lot of...
Okay, let me stop you right there with that bull crap you talking, Michael. You know, usually I'm nice, and I'll let you go on and say what you... But I'm going to tell you straight up, that's bull crap. All right, I don't care if you're from the ghetto, you from the suburb, you from the richest damn house in the United States of America. If you aren't disciplining your children, you're the problem. I don't care if you're from the dang old ghetto. Who cares? You could be the president's. You can be the damn president's son. Who cares? Who cares? If you don't have any discipline, it doesn't really matter. And as long as you're talking about nobody can discipline your child, that means you're not disciplined enough to be adult enough to have any damn children. Stop having them. In the word of Maze, get snipped, damn it. Then we don't have to worry about you having an accident. That's right. And for the women out there, if you don't think you'll be a damn good parent and you don't want nobody touching your children, then go and get your shit taken out, too. Boy, y'all got me heated up in here today. Y'all got me cussing. Y'all know I usually don't cuss. But y'all got me heated today with this nonsense.
You're not heated.
Don't shut up, Beasley.
You're not heated.
I heard you. Good Lord.
You might be a little riled up, but you're not hardly heated.
I need to take my medication. I think that's what it is. I need to take my medication now. But anyway, go ahead, Michael. Finish
well,
what
Mr.
you're going
to
say.
Oh, no, I mean, the only thing I wanted to say, and when I first started, the only thing that I hear from you,
Michael,
you sounds like
Michael,
it's the potion.
Michael,
it's not the potion.
Wait a minute, Michael.
Okay?
Michael, hold on. I got to tell you something, Michael.
It never can promise us as adults we're not going to do
irresponsible
things.
Michael, let me tell you something.
It's just not the potions. It's
Michael,
just not the number one
thing. Let me tell you something. You're breaking up, Michael. Okay, can I tell you something, Michael? Let me tell you something real fast. You there? Okay, well, we have a little issue with Michael's phone. He'll be back in a little bit. Okay. You know. I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't mean to go like that. Good Lord. My bad. Anyway. No, Renee, I'm not going to whoop you. I'm not beating you. I mean, I'm not going to whoop you unless you give me a reason to whoop you. You know? And that's the point I'm trying to get across. Everybody that disciplines a child is not out there to abuse a child. You know what I mean? Everybody that beats a child is not a bully. But damn it, if we continue to let the system bully us into not disciplining our children, then, yeah, somebody need to be the bully eventually. Because we sure are raising a whole bunch of them. I don't care what the little damn commercials say. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's all I got to say. Oh, Lord. You sure, Chris, say, why do you want to hit a child? Would you allow yourself to be hit? You know, and once again, you know, and that's the other thing that drives me freaking crazy. Everybody won't get caught on these little catch words, hit, whip. Now, see, and depending on where you were raised at, for you bougie people, when you say hit and whip, where I come from, that's just getting you behind beat with a belt or whatever, you know. Now, from where you bougie individuals come from, and if hit and whoop means abuse, well, then so be it in your neighborhood, that's what it means. Hit and whip does not necessarily translate over to abuse. Get off the damn key words. And that's the problem with y'all. Y'all get stuck on these little damn words that they damn
well,
keep telling
that.
Y'all
I
is supposed to lead
chast-
to damn
but
abuse.
But you know what? To answer
it's
the person.
Not.
I use the word chastising. But what if a teacher beats a child and she doesn't even beat her own child at home? You don't even know she chastised her child. And she's beating yours at school.
Well, Michael, you know what? Now,
there's a lot of favoritism.
Why, you know, if my child tells me he got a spanking from the school, and I ask my child what did he do, and he tell me what he did, and I say, okay, you deserve that. Then what is the issue that she don't beat her kids at home?
Now, my
maybe her
question
husband
to
does
you, it. What did they
well,
give
maybe
you
her
a
husband
reason?
Does it, Michael? See,
what
Michael,
did they
you
give
always,
you a reason
see, you always
and you
go,
don't agree?
No.
What?
No, once again, Michael, you always want to go to the part of it to where you want to bring in the extraordinary crap. You know, and people like you in the system are the reason why, you know, we have the laws the way we do now, because everybody want to go to the extreme of bull crap, because you don't want nobody to discipline your child and you don't want to discipline your own damn child. That's right. And you sure are crazy. Why would you allow yourself to be hit? You know what? It's like this. When your child is making $1 million on the football field, you're not asking why they're allowing themselves to be hit, right? Now, when he pissed that coach off and that coach grabbed him by the helmet and snatched his ass around and asked him, what are you doing? Are you out there talking about don't snatch my child around on his helmet? Hell no. But then you want to talk about shut the hell up. Okay, let me bring Antoinette in. Y'all know y'all got me mad today. Antoinette, hello, how are you? Please bring some calmness to me.
Hello, Mr. Talk.
Hello, Antoinette.
Hi.
Hello, Mays. Hello, Michael. I said I was saying hello to everyone that I knew that was on the line that I remembered. But my son, when he was young in middle school, he had a dean or something like that. And he used to call my son up. He called him up right in front of me. Because my son was acting crazy and disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was no problem because he had no business acting that way. I've always told my children, if you disrespect me, if you disrespect me when we're out, wherever we are, I'm going to disrespect you. Now, you're going to show your behind, I'm going to show mine. And with
there
my children, I tell them, go get the switch. And they knew what I meant, go get the switch. They knew exactly what I meant. And don't come back in here with a weasel switch or anything else. You better get me a good one.
I take little baby
steps. Now, be careful,
Antoinette.
You can't say switch. That is an abusive word. And they call the people on you because you cannot hit your child with
a
switch.
You got a long walk to the tree.
My youngest one will be 21. My oldest one is 34, so call whoever you want to call. And Lord knows... And when the boys were older, I took one time and I punched them right in their chest and knocked the wind out of them, and that stopped that.
There you go. See?
Because I always
knew
one day they
were
me. Pardon me?
I said no damage was done, was it?
Yeah, they fine.
I remember when I was little. Oh, I'm sorry, Antoinette. I'm sorry, I thought you were saying.
Okay,
how you doing?
My grandparents and everything, there was things, you know, my grandparents would want to one time I said MF-er when I was little. And I didn't say MF-er, I said the word. My cousin told my grandfather that he called the MF-er. And I was under 12. You know the last time I said MF-er after that? I was in my 30s.
You're still not saying it now.
My grandfather popped me on my behind. That was enough right there.
When someone beats your child for a reason that you wouldn't chastise your child, you never can take that chastising back that another adult gives you. And I remember in school that a boy picked on and hit another boy, and the boy started fighting him, and he didn't start. And the principal beat both of them. So the boy who actually got hit and didn't start it and got bullied got his butt beat.
Now, you don't
well,
supposed
we,
to be
you
employee.
Know,
oh, no, listen,
sorry,
listen.
Michael.
No,
you're
the principal,
hold
the principal beat the boys. No, that didn't happen to me. But with, look, both of the boys were fighting. One started, the boy was defending himself, and both boys got beat. Why did the boy get his butt beat that didn't start it? That's not right.
I remember was if you engaged in a fight, both children were disciplined. It didn't matter who started it.
But to me as an adult, when I look at that psychologically, that's not right. Psychologically, that's not right because somebody's getting bullied, defend himself, and then he gets his ass beat. Psychologically, that's not right.
Okay. And that was just one example, right, Michael?
Well, I'm just saying when the parents are not there, everything is situational. When you put stuff in adults' hands and other on your child, I'm just letting you know you're opening a can of worms and chastising can't promise our kids,
Michael,
that they're going to live a beautiful, happy life. So why can't we just do it?
But Michael,
because if
that's the case, then who should we put them in the hands of the state? Should we put them in?
No,
can
I'm not
put them in the hands
that.
Of the state?
I never said that, Mr. Tall. Why am I saying you're saying I'm saying that? I never said that. When I first came on this, you say when I'm saying that I'm a conclusion that it's going to go to the state. No, I never said that. How can you make that conclusion about what I'm saying? People with the state that got their chastised when they were little. It's guaranteed. We do a poll in jail and see how many people got chastised when they were little. A lot
of them. Most of them didn't.
May I ask Michael a question?
Most of them didn't. Okay.
No.
Yes, Antoinette. No. You can ask Michael a question.
Oh, okay. Michael, you said you didn't agree with both children being disciplined in school if they get into a fight. Now, what about if they were fighting on the street or as teenagers, and they're on the street and both of them are fighting? When the police come, they're both getting arrested, not just one child that started it. They're both getting arrested.
Okay, but do you have witnesses and do you have all that? You're not going to tell me that if someone witnesses and someone comes off and hits me first and then I defend myself, I'm going to go to jail. Come on, we don't live in that such type of society. We have to have rules and regulations. If you're an adult and someone hits you and you defend yourself and you go to jail, you're going to know that's right. So why can't we do it at the child level? That's all I'm saying.
So, Mike,
let the parents do it.
But Mike, when we grew up, how we were getting disciplined, and there was no laws, and we were thinking it was child abuse, and we were saying it wasn't child abuse, the way we got disciplined, and a lot of them was disciplined within that way, and they thought about it before they committed a crime because they knew what they had to face if they did something wrong.
Right.
And they grew up now and they talk about it and they laugh about it, but it really, if you look at it, was it abuse or was it a discipline? To make you not do what we see today. But today, they have more kids on Ritalin than they do, because that's an abuse too, than to deal with what the problem really is. They'll put them on Ritalin.
Well, it has to be a balance. You know, I'm just saying, ass whipping is not the master potion. Saying I'm gonna give you this butt whipping, you're gonna be straight and you're gonna be all good for the rest of your life. Because I'm quite sure all of us got butt whippers, and when we got adults, we made our little mistakes. So
now
it's proven in us.
And that's what I'm saying. Everybody don't have to discipline by with the belt. Some discipline in other ways. But then you got the drift as you grew up. But you thought it was wrong when it was being done to you. So that's why we say kids today act as if we never got discipline when we grew up. Some never got it. They just got away with it. And some try to get away with it now, but they can't because we were disciplined when we grew up, and we see what they're doing when they're in our immediate family. But we had immediate family all around us. Everybody was our family. So
if
that's
they
why
disciplined everybody the right way in the past, that means the adults should have grown up and been the right way. So why aren't we right now? See, if that past was good, it should be led up to a good now. It's not.
But what happened, Mike, is the school was integrated, so that's when the discipline went away. Because before that, every teacher could touch you with no problem. So that's where discipline in the school system came about, the difference in what you could do to a kid and what you couldn't do.
Well, no, white schools discipline too. They had the ruler on Little House on the Prairie.
No, I'm saying when the schools were integrated. Before then.
I mean, white schools, black schools discipline the kids. They had prayer in school, white schools and black schools.
Uh-huh.
They took it out. It doesn't have nothing to do with race.
Oh, yes, it did.
Okay.
Because that, in some places they still discipline in the school. You just got the parent, or the parent can come do it, or the principal can come do it, or you can come and watch the principal do it.
Yeah, or the parent and principal called, or the principal called the parent and tell Karen, let the parent come do it.
Yep,
so.
If you don't want the principal to do it.
Yeah. Oh, we lost Michael. Oh man, just when we was going good. Oh man, shucks.
He'll call back.
My. Huh?
I said he can't call back because it's too late.
Yeah, you know, unless, you know, he got some tricks up his trade like some other people I know that seems to be able to do that kind of stuff. But anyway, so, you know, it's you know, I'm not sorry for what I said. I'm not being sorry because it's true. You know, until we decide we're going to stop letting the system bully us and tell us how we're going to discipline and raise our kids, you know, we're always going to have issues. We are. You know, and maybe it's because, you know, the nuclear family is not, you know, as prevalent as it used to be. You know, some say, well, it's the single mothers raising families that's causing the issues and, you know, babies having babies, and maybe it's a combination of all of them.
Is everything
maybe that's what we need to say. Huh?
Is everything except people working together and having differences in selling it and going on and being happy with it.
Hmm. Of course, you know.
It's like the neighborhood is not there anymore. Maybe if they formed a neighborhood again, everything probably would. Might work out.
You know what? That's a good point, man. It's because, you know, back then, the teachers lived in the neighborhood with the students. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, I mean, like you say, everybody knew everybody.
The teacher, the preacher, the
mm-hmm.
whatever, the janitor, the nurse,
that's
the doctor.
That's true, though. Yeah. That is so true. You know,
and the
you know, everybody grew up together. You know, you walked to school together. You know,
and you had
it's just amazing. You got
to
fight.
You
got to fight with each other. You fought together.
Yep.
You know, and then you were through with it.
And it was
you know, that was a family. You know, believe it or not, that was a family dynamic right there in itself. The whole neighborhood.
Yes. The whole neighborhood was a dynamic.
Yeah, it was a family dynamic.
And it's a great experience because some people still go back to their neighborhoods and have a reunion.
Well, yeah, for those that the neighborhood is still there. Yeah,
well, yes,
you're right.
The neighborhood that's still there, yes.
Yeah, because we know some neighborhoods are long gone.
And a lot of people that grew up in the neighborhood are still friends. I mean, they don't look at it as being friends. They're like sister and brother, but they're not even related.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I got friends like that.
Yeah.
I have friends like that, they're as close as family members or anything as anything else, and I'm as comfortable around them as I would be family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And it's
why? Because you all grew up together in the same neighborhood. You know, you went through the same crazy. They know when you got your butt beat. You know when they got their butt beat, and you know. you know what I mean?
I'd go over their house and spend a week.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody didn't experience that, so that's why they don't understand it. Because the neighborhood was a movie theater. You watch TV. You all go in there one together. Everybody together.
Yeah.
Everybody went to the drive-in, all together. So that's
back in the car and go. Yep, you're right. Oh, see, we just said something a lot of people don't know about. We said drive-in. You know, they don't understand that.
Oh, that shit happened in some places.
You took, Huh?
Some places still have them.
Not many places.
Mm-hmm.
Not
if you
many want to
step back in time.
You know that.
If you want to step back in time, they still have them. So that's the joy
right.
of that's
okay.
the joy of being a family. That's what I think it is.
Yeah.
So everywhere I go, I create one, a family. And when you leave them, but you always
remember the first. Let's see, the first drive-in movie, the first movie I ever saw the drive-in was Shaft's Big Score. That's the first one.
I ain't telling y'all no more, but that's the first one I ever saw the drive-in with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Never really went a family movie, but you know.
but it was a lot
yeah,
of fun.
But that was the dynamic, though. That really was the dynamic at the time. You know, it was a family dynamic. The whole neighborhood was of one big happy family, and that's why you know you could allow others to chastise your kids. Most people now don't even know who their neighbors are.
No,
you
no.
know, you ask them how they look, they couldn't tell you.
You keep to yourself.
You know. Huh?
No, I mean, generally people keep to themselves.
Yeah. You know, so. Well, maybe that's why, you know, it is in the shape it's in now. You know, of course, you know, and then to add to it, you know, we have these key words now that triggers all kinds of things in everybody's minds. You know, you say hit, whip, what else the other one? Corporal punishment. Oh, that really gets them upset. you know what I mean? You know, like I said, depends on where you came from. You know, that didn't mean that. It just means you got a, you know, you got in trouble and got your butt tore up. That's it. No, now you say the words and everybody's first thing they want to yell is, it's abuse and it's that and it's this and it's not all that. Especially when they say that word switch. Oh, don't say anything, switch. Oh, my goodness.
When I was
really
in kindergarten.
I think it was a long walk to the tree.
When I was in kindergarten.
Yeah,
I went to Ralph Bunch Elementary in Compton.
Uh-huh.
And I was a good kid then. I mean, I was a, you know, whatever. I wasn't a discipline problem. But I remember the last day of school. Now, we're kindergartners. The principal,
mm-hmm.
and he had on these high top leather shoes. We called them biscuits as I got older, but, you know, he was an older man. And he called out people's
mm-hmm.
name, and were all the kids that gave the teachers problem. And he paddled them right there, and he paddled the shit out of them. And he just watched
mm-hmm.
you. You just sit right there and watched it. I remember that happening,
mm-hmm.
and that was a public school. I don't think they allow for that
right.
anymore. But
he would take that paddle.
And he would, you know, these kids would be hollering and crying. And I would just, and you don't know if your name is getting called next. But it sent a message.
It sent
a real message. It was the last day of school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to believe.
Well, it was hanging
wow.
up in the house. The parents brought it from a restaurant. That's a pantry. I'll never forget it. And on the paddle, it was called the Board of Education. I remember because my mouth always had to be running, and I would get it a lot. I didn't know when to shut up. I always had to have the last word, and that just got me in trouble. Because it was either get a switch, and we got a little bit older, and we learned not to go and get them switches. Then they just got the paddle. I guess they figured that was just easier.
That was back nowadays people indulge their kids to the point of that the kids are controlling and running everything. I come from an era, it wasn't always like that, but my stepfather in particular, he came from an era where you were seen and not heard. My mother was looser.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was far looser. But my stepfather didn't play none of that shit. You didn't get away with too much.
Wasn't that the way it really was, though, Beasley? You know, the father was the disciplinary in the house, basically. You know,
somehow,
kind of take care of you, but when you say, wait till your daddy get home, you already knew what that meant, you know, you know what I mean?
That's true, but some households were different, but they generally had the dynamic of a good cop, bad cop.
because I know my friends, my friends that lived around the corner, the dad was the soft touch. He was the easygoing one.
Mm-hmm.
But the mother, you know, she was a, you know, she was an attack dog.
Mm-hmm.
She was an attack dog.
Yeah.
And she would put hands on them first before she started talking. So if you were in bed asleep with the covers over you, you just started getting hit. Then you have to regroup and understand what it was.
But it didn't make them.
I remember those days.
But yet it didn't make you a bad person. Because you were
well, you know what? And even then, each one, well, the two boys that were closer to me, even then, with all of that discipline and love and care and everything, even then, you know, they went on, they're regrouped now, but, you know, they experimented and went on wayward ways.
But they didn't forget.
Right.
No. Sometimes it takes a... You some people really have to get out there and test the waters themselves.
Yes.
And you know
right.
what the pull of the streets and your peers, a lot of times coming up in your teens and early 20s before you get it together mentally, that pull is a little bit stronger than your parents because your parents aren't, what they're talking about is not really that cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's that young lion coming out of you. You got to try it just to see what it's all about first.
Well,
you know.
I always thought that I could walk in the water and not get wet, you know?
Did you really?
I did. I was successful for a while, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to get wet eventually. And if you lie down with them dogs, you're going to get up with flea bites. It's just inevitable.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. All right, man. We're going to get up out of here because I know some of y'all want to make Ebony's show, you know, and I try not to stay long. I help my sister out with her show, you know, because, you know, we support each other like that. But before we get out here, go on, let y'all get y'all last word in. And since y'all was over talking, we're going to let Antoinette go ahead and get her last word in first. Go ahead, Miss Antoinette. Are you there, Miss Antoinette?
I had my phone muted. It was a very good show.
Oh, okay.
It was a very good show.
Well, thank you.
I believe people should discipline their children. But, of course, now being a grandmother, just don't discipline my grandchildren. I'm on the upside. So now it's like, no. They don't need your fingers popped, you know. No.
Mm.
Now I see it from a different
Dango
view.
Dango grandparents. Mm-hmm.
I see it from a different view, and I try to explain it away. You know, I see it differently. But there is times when they do need to get their little fingers popped and stuff, and they should, but don't want them to cry.
You know, it's amazing how parents get softer as they get older, you know.
Yeah.
I just tell my dad that all the time, like, you letting him get away with that? I mean, man, we've been up beside the wall somewhere, did something like that. Y'all just get soft.
Yeah. I know my son, whenever I would talk about how hard my mom was on us, and my son would always say, nah, grandma, and I'm like, boy, that woman that you knew was not the woman that I grew up with. Now, I don't know what happened to her, but she is not the woman. She's not the same woman. And so now I imagine that's probably what my children, you know, will probably tell their children. And that's not the same woman.
Right. Yep. Say, now you understand.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Antoinette. Well, thank you, ma'am. And I'll be talking to you in a little while.
Okay. All right.
All right. Bye-bye. All right,
bye-bye.
Let's go with Miss Mays. Miss Mays, you up?
Yes, so like your kids now will tell you, well, you don't do them like you did me. I said, they're not in my house. And that's how I leave it with my grandchildren. But I will discipline them in a minute, too.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I don't sport around with them either.
You don't sport around with them either?
Nope.
Okay.
You got to get the respect.
Nothing wrong.
And
it
was nice reminiscing back old
times
and how things changed and what we see now that's missing. Because that's all it is. It's the neighborhood and the closeness.
And the closeness,
all that's missing.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not there anymore.
Good point, man.
I mean,
it's very good
some
point.
Some people still have it. It should be like sugar where you can spread it on people and they can get it too. But it's not that simple.
But that would make the world
so
much better, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
All right.
You have a good day.
Well, thank you, Ms. Mays. You too. All right. And last but not least, let's see, Mr. Beasley. Mr. Beasley, you there, sir?
Yeah, that was pretty funny what Antoinette said. I don't even know who that woman
yes,
is. That is a different person. That is a different person. What's the number to Ebony Show?
Oh, man, I have no clue. I really don't know. I just go to her site.
I can't do that.
Sorry.
Can you do that? You know I'm IP banned from blogging.
Oh. I don't think I can tell
you what it says when I try to look at the particulars of a show. It says, server error, resource cannot be found. 404, access denied.
What did you do? Sound like somebody disciplining you.
It happens. I thank them. It allowed me to spend more time in the morning taking care of business.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah, but we've already had a decent week, and I like Ebony's show. You don't know the number? Let me see if I can get through. Oh, I got
it right here. 347-945-7556.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Have a good one. See you soon.
All right, you too.
All right.
Have a good one. All right, y'all, another great show here on Let's Talk. And I don't know what I got going on right now, y'all. I done did something. I don't know. Didn't know I could do that. Okay. All right. Didn't even know I could do that. All right. But anyway, yeah, thank y'all for listening to Mars Freedom Friday. Hey, basically open conversation, whatever we want to talk about, okay? So don't forget to drop by Ebony's show. She live on the air right now. I'll be heading over there in a little bit myself. So remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart, and remember, make sure you forgive yourself first before you forgive anyone else. And the biggest and the best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, then ain't too much in the world is going to bother you, all right? Once again, thank y'all for listening. It's been great. Appreciate your support. Until tomorrow, y'all have a good
Bye-bye.
One. We are out of here.